Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the Pink Glasses Convo Conversation, or just PGC for short. I am your amazing, beautiful, delectable, I'm just trying to gas myself up. I am Olaoluwa. Some people call me Ola and that's fine too. If this is your first time listening to PGC, thank you and welcome. If you're a returning listener, thank you and welcome. Whichever category you fall into, welcome to another episode of the Pink Glasses Conversation. On today's episode, I will be going down memory lane about 6 months now and just share a little bit of my story, moving to Bend, some struggles that I faced being an immigrant on this part of the world, and some interesting facts about Bend, which I think, to me, they're sort of hilarious. So get relaxed and get ready for my storytelling. I'll catch you on the other side. See ya. So, if like me, you had uncles and aunties and cousins, or uncles or aunties or cousins and or family friends that lived in the abroad, you know, lived in diaspora, whichever one of the diasporas, especially the US, then Oregon is really not a state you would hear. You know, it's more of the Atlanta, more of the New York, New Jersey, Maryland, recently maybe more Texas, you know, but Oregon isn't just one of those places that you hear about. So trust me, when Oregon came into my life picture, I was first like, nah, that's not gonna work. I am not going there. But here I am today, you know. So I've been recently talking to a couple of people and I've just been sharing a lot about my Oregon story and how I got here. If you've listened to the previous episodes, I've probably mentioned Bend like 2 billion times. Now, for people who are even living in the US and in other states, like you're like, what is Bend? Or who is Bend? Or where is Bend? Bend is the city that I live in, and Bend is a city in a state called Oregon. Oregon is in the Pacific West, and I have to be super careful on this episode because I have a lot of Bendites and Oregonians that listen to this podcast. So I have to be very careful so that I don't cast myself. But I will try, I promise. I will do my very best to keep it right. You know, so why Bend? Why did I move to Bend? How did I get to Bend? What is this Ijebu girl looking for in this place? Backstory is that I didn't choose Bend. Bend chose me, and I promise I'm not trying to be cliche, but it was pretty interesting. I think towards the end of school, and I've shared a lot about the beginning of my school and my grad school journey and my moves to the US and all of that in a previous episode. And it was time to look for jobs or internships, as we call it, being an international student. And I remember just like going on LinkedIn and just applying. I guess like I was like, because I was super late to start my application because I had my mind on something else that ended up not working through. And I was just like desperate. Desperate is a strong word, I know, but really I was desperate and I just went on LinkedIn. Side note, if you are looking for jobs, LinkedIn is a really good place. Just FYI. Just be careful, but there are job openings there. Moving on, so I went on LinkedIn and I was applying to like 10 jobs in like a week, like every week, like 10 to 15 every week. You know, for some jobs you just have to like send your resume, for some you have to write a cover letter and all that fun part that we don't want to hear. And so I started the process, and you know, you get to a point where you're doing something, so like it's almost like a reflex. You just open LinkedIn and just see jobs and apply. You go on Indeed and then you just apply. You know, you go on all these other places and you just go and keep applying. And hey, I didn't even know the city where all the states, the city I was sending all my job applications to be honest. I was just randomly sending. I would just see a job, look at their job description and just apply. Look at their job description, do I have this qualification, and just apply. And so I think I sent the job application for this current position that I'm in, and I got a call back, I think from the recruitment team, someone from the recruitment team, just asking questions and things like that. I mean, I've done so many calls and stuff like that, so it wasn't really a thing. And so she was just asking questions and all of that. And, you know, I qualified for the next level of job interview, and then I did that one. I am quite unsure if it was that first job that I did, the second level of applications and process that I did, or the third. But I just remember being like in the interview, and one of the people interviewing, I'm sure it's the third one, and one of the people interviewing was like, so just to ask, we're done with the interview, blah blah blah. And she's like, just to ask, why Bend? And I'm like, sorry, can you repeat the question? And she's like, yeah, like I'm just interested, like I just want to say, you know, like looking at the color of your skin, like I would not think that Bend is a place that you would, you know, want to live. So I'm just really interested in like knowing your history. I'm paraphrasing. And like, why did you choose Bend? I was like, well, I heard Bend is a really good city, you know, and I'm bringing my diversity, I'm bringing myself, I'm bringing my personality. You know, all those things that we say in interviews that heaven knows that we don't mean half of it. And so they were like, oh, nice. Like, I'm like, you know, we're really glad that you have that idea, blah, blah, blah. And like right after I finished the interview, I just like opened like another tab on my laptop. And I'm like, where is Bend City? And like, I'm just seeing Bend, Oregon. And I'm like, where is that? Like, don't judge me, guys. Don't judge me again. I have been applying. I was desperate. I wasn't even looking. I just wanted, I was like, anywhere in the world. I just need a job so I don't go out of status. And so I'm like, what diversity in Oregon? And it's like zero diversity. It's like a pinch of black. I was like, oh, hell no. I am not going there. I told myself like straight, and I'm like, not gonna work. And so I, you know, after a month and a couple of weeks, I think I got called that I got the job. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I was waiting on a couple of other jobs, and you know, those ones never got back in. I never got feedback on those ones. And I was like, Lord, I think this is it. Something interesting that also happened is that after I got the job, I was still going on LinkedIn to try my options because I did not want to go to Oregon. I'm like, I don't know anybody. I don't even know that part of town of the US. I'm like, I'm not going there. So I still went back on LinkedIn, and then I realized, thank you LinkedIn, that my company has a branch in Georgia, which is where I was. And so I started battling it. I'm like, should I deny that application and ask to do an interview in Georgia? And I battled that for weeks while they were waiting for my feedback if I wanted to take the offer or not. And I was just battling that. And I spoke to a couple of people. And one of my really good sisters, and one of my very good sisters, And she was just like, you better take it. She's just like, you better take it. Like, you know, you just don't know. Just take the opportunity and go. So I finally took it. I was like, you know what? Like, what if I do the one in Atlanta and then I don't get in? And, you know, I'm like, I need a job. And kind of that was it. And then I started the process of relocating. So if you don't have an idea of like what I'm saying, it's so Georgia is in the south, like, and by air Georgia to Oregon is 5 minutes. It's 5 hours, 5 minutes, like literally straight flight by air. It's 5 hours, 5 minutes. By road it's about 40 hours last time I checked, and if my memory is accurate. So imagine leaving all of that and coming from Georgia, where like I was surrounded by a community, and I've said this multiple times, is not only was I surrounded by like an African community, you know, I was also surrounded by like a huge Nigerian student community. Like my church was not a Nigerian church, but it was like 70% Nigerians. So we would have parties, you know, we would have cookouts. Like I'll have maybe a friend is doing a party, or a friend is doing a baby shower, or another friend is doing a birthday, or, you know, like our student organization is having like a cookout or hangout. Like we were always cooking Nigerian food. Like I'll have my friends over. Like I had friends from my own tribe, and we would speak like our tribal language. You know, we would do all of that stuff. So leaving all of that, especially again for me, that I am so interested with the African immigrant population, it was just hard. It was exceptionally hard. Like, not just am I an immigrant, not just was I surrounded by African and Nigerian communities. Like, that is also, the immigrant population is also my research interest, is also my career interest. And so leaving and not staying with that population and going somewhere that I would never have imagined to be, and be away from that set of people. Like I always had friends over in my room, I had someone over in my apartment, like, oh, I was over at a friend's apartment. Like just leaving that tight-knit place, you know, I had friends that would come pick me, that leave, like I don't even know how to begin to describe it. And just leaving that, and literally it felt like I was starting over again less than like 2 years after starting over. And I was just like, oh Lord, oh my God, it broke me. It broke me. It definitely did. I think it's when I moved to Oregon that I really began to feel that I'm in America. You know, because it's just different, and people are different, and things are just different. And yeah, I did feel it more moving here. I did feel the culture shock more. I mean, I felt it at school as well, and well in grad school, but here, like, it hit me once, you know, like a punching bag. I want to share that. One thing that helped my life, that the Lord used to help my life when I initially moved to Oregon, because I didn't just come straight to Bend. I stayed somewhere else called Salem before coming down here to Bend. And I think when I got to Salem, I went to the store. I think that was my first time of like really seeing that, oh mo, there's a pinch of diversity here. I went into the store, I think I went to pick up like toiletries or something, and I was looking around me and I did not see anybody that physically looked like me. And I was like, wait, what's going on? I can't even begin to complain enough. And I remember just like checking out, going into the car, and I was just like, hey, what have I done to myself? Like, I was so scared. I was so concerned. For context's sake, I think it's important to see that this was like maybe a year after, you know, the riots for Black Lives Matter. This is months after finishing grad school and looking at issues of discrimination across all, looking at issues of injustice and things like that. So I already had that in the back of my mind. Like, that was already, I've done classes on it, I've done papers on it, I've done so many stuff on injustice and racism and things like that. And I'm not making this podcast about that, I promise. But just for context sake, just know that that is where my mind is coming from. And so walking into the car from the store, I was just thinking about all that. I was like, oh my gosh, am I safe? Is everything okay? Will I be okay? You know, how would I do this? And I don't think I've heard the word like that ever in my life. Ever in my life. And I just remember hearing "and so," and I was like, "and so, like, what? Wait, what? And so what? Like, I don't get, Lord. Like, what? I thought I was even talking to myself. I'm pretty sure I was like, "get behind me, Satan." Like, "and so, please allow me to wallow in my self-pity." And it was like, "and so, are they not people as well?" And I was like, you say what? And I think the Lord putting that on my heart was very important, because if not, I would leave here in apprehension, I would leave here in fear, and it would affect so many things. It would affect me mixing with people, it would affect me talking with people, it would affect so many things. And I think the Lord saw that whether I liked it or not, this was the place I was going to live in, and it is better that I come in with the right mindset and with the right ideology. Now, this does not discredit people's experiences with issues of racism. It doesn't. And this for me was like a personal experience. Again, like I always say at the end of, you know, the description, that I am not speaking, I don't speak for everyone. Like, if we're to talk about that, like, yes, you know, we can talk about that. But the Lord saying that to me is not to discredit people's experiences or to discredit things like that. But again, like I said, I felt like the Lord knew that I needed to hear that to be able to come into the community that I was going to live in with a clear and an open mind. If not, I'll be apprehensive. Again, this is, all my clients are like that, all my colleagues are like that, all my church members are like that. So imagine if I carried that heart of apprehension, I probably won't be going to my church again. I probably would have a lot more issues with my clients. I probably will have a lot more issues with my colleagues. I won't be able to mix. I won't be able to go out. And I'll be living in fear, which in a way could be legitimately right. But for me, it wasn't going to be helpful. It wasn't going to be helpful. So I think that really helped me. And I'm going to say, like, I've had my fair share of backlash. Like, I've had someone shout from the car, curse me, and say some really, really nasty things. And it hurt. And I just had to learn to put it away, because I did not want that to stop me. And I probably will still hear more of it in the future. And I've had it even come up as an issue in my work, right? So I'm not saying, oh, it's immune and things are perfect. However, and I'm saying this for the third time, just to get the message across to anyone who's listening, I needed to hear that. The Lord knew that I needed to hear that. The Lord knew that He didn't want me to walk in that level of fear. And just to say, it's Black History Month, so that's what's up. Don't mind me. So that kind of is just like my little story, and you know, the rest they say is history. And living here and working here, it definitely has been different, but it has been great. It has come with its fair share of good and bad, its fair share of ups and downs. So my idea, a little tiny idea that I had at the back of my mind, is to kind of recruit more people to this side of the US, to this side of the world. And so I wanted to share a little bit more about, like, some facts about Bend, like, in just living here in the past 6 months, just some interesting facts and interesting things about Bend that I just thought that, why not share? So I think the first thing, I mean, I've already said the very obvious one, is a lack of diversity. However, in Oregon generally, and I think people in other states might relate to this, or people in Georgia, I don't know, but one is you don't pay sales tax. So I'm going to give very basic information. So if you're an Oregonian or a Bendite, you probably will wear your ass and be like, I know this. But I'm still going to say for people who don't. So one is you don't pay sales tax, which is, to me, was fun. Because if you shop back then in Georgia or anywhere, like, you would still pay a percentage, like an extra percentage over, like, everything that you buy. So if the cost of everything that I bought at Walmart, for example, is $100, I have to pay, like, depending on what I bought, maybe $5 to about $10. But it was pretty interesting. Like, you just pay for what you pay. You don't pay that extra money, which to me is pretty amazing. Also, in the gas station, they have people who, like, fuel your car for you that work in the gas station, which, again, to me is amazing, because no one's gonna help you do that in Georgia. You come out of your car and you fill your gas. But here it's different, and it's very similar to back home, because back in Nigeria you have attendants that help you in the gas station to fill your car. But here in Oregon they do the same, and I love it. So going, like, more deeper and more specific to Bend is very bougie. Like, if you want to live the big life, like, you want to bamba, you want to chill with the big boys, come on, Bend, you know. And if you not want to feel like you want to elevate, you know, you want to supersede, you want to intercede, go and live on the west side of Bend. Forget it. Yeah, living large. So Bend is very bougie, very, very, you know, for the rich, for the bing, bing, bing. Not a lot of noise. By 6, 7, people are in their homes. There's less traffic. It's not pretty. Just pretty chill, pretty cool, pretty mellow, you know. So, I tap into every atmospheric blessing in the bourgeoisie atmosphere, and I receive it for myself. So first things first, and so with it being bougie comes the high cost of living. You gotta pay something for something. It is super expensive to live in my definition, super expensive. I think compared to, like, even other cities in Oregon, Bend is still one of the most expensive cities. It's, to me, initially, I mean, I'm trying to get used to it now, but I still cringe when I remember how expensive things are. It's, oh my goodness, it's just something else. Also, a really fun fact is that there actually are jobs. Like, if you are looking for jobs, if you are looking for opportunities, and people make good money. I mean, all the money goes to the cost of living. But except you're a social worker and, you know, people see your work as mostly pro bono and helping the community. But other than that, there are jobs. You know, like, companies are looking for a job, organizations are looking for jobs. A lot of places are understaffed, like, even in the social welfare sector, Department of Human Services is understaffed. Like, so many companies and nonprofits and organizations are looking for jobs. So just to put that out there, like, even stores, malls, because, again, Bend is one of, like, the fastest growing cities in the US. Like, the way people are moving down here is amazing. So just, you know, in case the information might help somebody and you're looking for somewhere to live where that it's not too loud or honestly, you come to Bend. Like, it's amazing. I'm sure that there are other cities just like Bend, but why not just come to Bend? I'm here and I can keep you company, you know. So there are jobs, and I think a lot of people don't know, and I try to tell people, because people are moving, companies are expanding, the population is increasing, and Bend is like a, I see it like a family town. You know, people are in their cars with their children, with their partners, with their husbands, with their wives, you know, looking good, doing okay. I'm not saying everyone's life is perfect, but you get what I mean. So there's that, and it's very outdoory. Like, I just made that up, but if you love outdoors, if you love skiing, if you love mountain climbing, if you love seeing the sunrise and the sunset, honestly, this is where you do that, because in the summer you do mountain climbing, in the winter you ski. So there's something for you, there's always something to do. And it's really enjoyable. So if you love that, then again, Bend is the place to be. Just so you know, Bend's elevation level is something else. I always say I live on the mountaintop. I don't know if that's true or not, but I always say that to myself and I say that to my friends. So just in case you were wondering, it has a super high elevation level. Like, it's compared to other places, it's high, like thousands high. I'm not going to give a specific number so I don't give you false information. One culture shock for me with Bend is that almost everybody has a pet or a dog. I was chased by a dog as a little girl and I still have the scar on my leg. So me and dogs, we don't really gel well, or we did not really gel well. And I'm sure that if any of my friends listen to this, they're going to be like hysterically laughing. But me and dogs, like, I made sure to tell even apartments that I lived in, like, I don't want my roommates to have pets, like, no pets. We don't gel. I have, let me just use social work terminology, I have PTSD from pets and dogs. And so when I got here, literally, it's like maybe only me and two other people that don't have dogs. It's not plenty, but not plenty at all. Just me and two other people that don't have dogs. And so when I first came, like, you will be trying to go for a walk and you just see like people's pets, like dogs and all of that, just running about. I was just run back to my house, like, I'm not going for a walk. Just run back to my room. Like, thank you, that's enough for today. But now I don't get choice. You would not believe it. Like, my friends have used exposure therapy for me, my friends over here, and now I'm okay. I mean, for this, I'm taking things easy. The smaller ones, you know, it's not as bad. Now I'm kind of cool with it, you know, except if they are big. We have not entered that place yet. Take it slow and easy. But that was pretty interesting for me. That's something I had to learn. Like, I told myself when I came, I'm like, no, nobody can change me. I cannot like dogs. 6 months later, now me and dogs, they do session together. It's myself and my clients' dogs that have sessions together. So it's just pretty interesting how much we can change and just evolve over 6 months, right? If you're allergic, please stay away. Don't even try to do that. Then the weather. Oh my goodness. Oh Lord. The weather. See, on both ends. Now, in the summer, it's hot and dry. There's a difference between humid and dry. You see, humid, it's like there's no breeze. It's everything's just there. With dry, it's like there's no breeze, there's no air. And then it's like rusty dry, like dry. It's just, the summer here is not for me. And then the winter with the snow, hail. Then you have to start changing tires and buying snow tires and doing winter, mbano. Summer, but I don't have a choice, right? I have to live with it. So I think that people are a couple percentage higher when it comes to niceness in air quotes. I feel like people are a tad bit nicer here than, honestly, my only experience is in Georgia, so I just keep comparing to Georgia. And I know that that's very wrong, but that, you know, that's kind of all that I had, you know. So I hope with these few points of mine, I've been able to convince you and not confuse you on why you should move to Bend. And I hope I've been able to share just a little bit more about my story and how I got here and my experiences. I mean, in general, in closing, it has been amazing. It has been beautiful. It has had its up and down, or ups and downs, but it has been good, and nothing is perfect. I think even if I was still back in Georgia, I would still have stories to tell. So nothing is good, nothing is perfect. Just make sure that you're working in God's will, and make sure that wherever you are, you're making the most of it, you're enjoying it, because that time is going to pass. So it's up to you to enjoy where you are, even if you're in your home country, for my people in Nigeria, or you're in diaspora and you're in the UK, you're in Canada, you're in Germany. Make sure you enjoy it. Make sure you make the best of it. Make sure you make, you know, enjoy the fullness of it. So the song for this week, someone suggested that I add like the song of the week to the audio, but I'm unable to do that just because of like copyright issues and all of that. So I do hope that just having like a playlist where all the songs are accessible is helpful for people. Or if you have any other suggestions on how I can do the song of the week, please feel free to let me know. The song for this week again is Revival, Revival. It's in the We Are Fire album by one of my favorite people, T.Y. Bello. And it's featuring, I think, Great Manta Kit and Falabino. I just love the song. It's a song of revival. It's a song saying, you know, just declaring the promises of God over our generation and saying that the revival of the Lord is coming. It has been a repeat for like weeks now. So I hope you do enjoy it. You can access it on all the Lighthouse playlists. And the quote for this week is, watch where you sit. Proverbs 13:20. You know, you sit in the company of the wise, you'll be wise. You sit in the company of fools, may we not be fools in Jesus' name. So that's kind of all that I had this week. I hope you enjoyed my storytelling. If not, let me know. I'll cry a bit, but it'll be good. Until next time, thank you for listening. I'm your host, Olaoluwa. See you next time. Bye-bye.